Hello, new world, all the boys and girls. I got some true stories to tell. You're back outside, but they still lied. Whoa, yeah. Take off the foo-foo.
Yo, what's good, everybody? It's your man, Brother Red, coming at you with another episode of No Vultures. Today, we're going to chop it up and do the knowledge, and we're going to get into K-Dot's new LP, Mr. Moral, and the Big Steppers. In the house with me, we got Rob and we got Illy. All right, these cats are really, really, you know, they into the album. Myself, I like it, but they're here to convince me to love it. All right, so without further ado, we got Rob and we got Illy. So fellas, go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here, man. Yeah, I have a lot to say about this album. I don't think it was designed for money. I don't think it was designed to be in the clubs. It was designed to heal and help. I think there's a lot to learn from everything on this album. You know, how he starts off the album with the one we came in on, N95. You know, he asks you to take it off, these lies and these things and delusions we tell ourselves. But to me, it helped me do some soul searching. How about you, Yulia?
You know, I can kind of agree to that. You know, hearing this album and hearing his vulnerability, you know, and I really think he's tugging on the heartstrings with this one, you know. And when I heard it, to be honest, I didn't know what to think. I had to run it. I had to run the album back about 3, 4, 5 times, so to really digest what he was saying. So to the average listener, you know, they might not like, you know, I guess music that's comes off a little intellectual, or, you know, when people are actually, I don't know, saying about a, you know, controversial topics or whatever, they want the bangers. But if you really look at the, you know, this album as a whole, it's a great album.
Definitely. So it's complex. Just like what you said, when I first heard it, I wasn't that impressed. You know, I wanted something more. I wanted a dance or something I could work out to, something I can drive to. But then I realized how much thought he put into this. He spent 5 years working on this. Wasn't it 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
You know, he everything was deliberate. He released his last album on Good Friday, and then he released this one on his polar opposite, Friday the 13th. Everything has meaning from how he introed in. The numbers, they all have a significance. So he's given us a message. He's given, I believe, his followers, his community, fans of his music, a message. It's not easy to see and hear. I had to listen to this album 3 times before I really understood it and can now say without a doubt it's a masterpiece. How about you, Yulia?
You know, now, you know, now reflecting on it right now, I really think that this album allowed me to kind of confront my own things that I'm battling, you know. And I noticed that Kendrick is in a healing phase in his life right now. And, you know, even from when he started with, you know, United in Grief, and how he's been grieving in the wrong ways, and, you know, trying to fill that hole with, you know, sex or materialistic things. And it opened my eyes because it's something that we all deal with. These are all topics that we all deal with. And I think ultimately as an artist, it's like you have a superpower, and how are you going to use that superpower? How are you going to change the world? Are you going to give people that, like, you know, has no sustenance, you know, has nothing that they can grab onto, just unrealistic ideas, you know? I mean, or are you going to talk about things that people actually deal with on a day-to-day basis? You know, like, we all got trauma, we all suffer, we hurt, and, you know, a lot of things from our childhood has affected us. And he just did that in such an artistic way. And to be honest, that's how I want to be as an artist, is be able to talk about these topics, but also make it a musical masterpiece. So, yeah.
I totally agree. And the thing about this album, the things that I'm missing are the gibberish, that auto-tune bullcrap that we hear now and all the hits. You have to you know, auto-tune your way through songs. We didn't have to hear about how much money he had, how many bitches he bangs. Now, he did have a song when he first has sex with a white woman, but it's deeper than just the sex. He's not really talking about sex. He's talking about the empowerment that came from the sex he's referring to. He has a album about molestation, and there's an album about a track about a fight with his girl that is one of the most emotional songs I've ever freaking heard from him. And the pain from this argument between him and his girl is this, the back and forth. And that lyrics is the female that she matches his energy. She steps toe to toe with him and may at some points even outrap him within that track. And you know, he talks about his father not being there, in father time. He talks about so many different things. But what he's not talking about is the same thing everyone else is talking about. And that's what's refreshing. At the same time, it took effort for me to let it in because it wasn't easy to digest. It didn't just like make me want to dance right away. It doesn't have a catchy Cardi B kind of hook. All the hooks are complex and in most cases, they're not really about what it seems on the surface. They all seem to have secondary meanings. What do you think, guys?
Well, you know what? You guys gave me a lot to think about there. I agree on some levels. Now, it took me a little bit to be able to consume it. When it first came out, I was able to get through about the first half of the album. Now, I'm at Discogs.com. I recommend everybody go to Discogs.com. If you ever want to do the knowledge, you're digging through the crates and you're trying to get your information about LPs, EPs, and information about different artists. Now, one thing that's interesting is, Kendrick named the album Mr. Morale and Big Steppers. Now, one thing that Discog does for us that I don't know, I know I get a lot of my music straight from YouTube Music. Like I just paid a little fee, that way I can get $9.99. I get all the albums. Now, with Big Steppers Mr. Morale, Big Steppers, the album is actually broken up. And I don't know if you guys were aware of this. The album is broken up into two parts. So there's supposed to be a feel. So you got Big Steppers. That's the first half of the album. Then you have Mr. Morale, and that starts with Count Me Out. So we'll go through the track listing real quick. Now let's peep this. We got United in Grief, N95, Worldwide Steppers, Die Hard, Father Time. Then you have Rich, that's the interlude. Then you have Rich Spirit, We Cry Together, which I want to touch on. Purple Hearts, that's my personal favorite song with my man Ghost. You know what I mean? That to me, that's my personal favorite song on the album. Then you got Count Me Out. This is the Mr. Morale side now. Now you have Count Me Out, Crown, Silent Hill, Savior, the interlude, Savior, which we'll get into, Auntie Diaries, Mr. Morale, Mother I Sober. I really did enjoy that one. I did enjoy Mother I Sober, and Mirror. And so that finishes the track list on Mr. Morale and Big Steppers. Now we're up against the break. When we come back, we're going to get into a couple of our favorite joints. So the fellas are going to convince me why I should love this album as opposed to liking it. You know, so we'll give, our ratings. We're going to go old school, like the Source. Five mics is the, the pinnacle. So we're going to see what these guys grade Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I'm going to give my final grade on it when we come back. This your man, Brother Red, with our man, Rob, and Ely. There's no vultures due to knowledge.
You ain't shit, your daddy ain't shit, your brother ain't shit, your money ain't shit, your lab ain't shit, your rings ain't shit, your gear ain't shit, your shoes ain't shit, your pigs ain't shit, nigga, your whips ain't shit, but you ain't shit, nigga, I'm the shit. You ain't shit, your daddy ain't shit, your brother ain't shit, your money ain't shit, your lab ain't shit, your rings ain't shit, your gear ain't shit, your shoes ain't shit, your kicks ain't shit, your whips ain't shit, Bobby, you ain't shit, nigga, I'm the shit. You ain't shit. Your daddy ain't shit. Your brother ain't shit. Your money ain't shit. Your laugh ain't shit. Bobby, you ain't shit. Your rings ain't shit. Your beer ain't shit. Your shoes ain't shit. Your kicks ain't shit. Your whips ain't shit. Nigga, I'm the shit. You ain't shit. Your daddy ain't shit. Your brother ain't shit. Your money ain't shit. Your laugh ain't shit. Your rings ain't shit. Your beer ain't shit. Your shoes ain't shit. Your kicks ain't shit. Your whips ain't shit. Nigga, I'm the shit.
What the fuck y'all birds talking about? Get the fuck out my house. Fuck y'all, you by your hair and slap dick to your mouth. Bob Digi, yeah, you know who is he? Girl, I fucking slave change your ass like Jizzy Chintay.
Wait, fuck you, motherfucker.
You wish you could fuck, bitch, all you can do is dick suck.
Your ass can't fuck, that's why your wife
fuck
your
that. You don't cook, you don't clean, or press my jeans. You don't scrub or wash clothes, or buy food or make any cream in this bitch. You don't read to the seas, all you do is watch TV and fuck weed. Get your nails done and feet scrub the hair weave. Sleep all day, eat, gain weight, can't breathe. Talk about you gon' leave, then bitch leave. What the fuck you waiting for? Hit the door, I ain't taking this shit no more. Spending all my cream on Gucci Bitties and Coach. Before you move to my lab, bitch, I ain't never seen a roach. Stains on my carpet, bathrooms more like a fish market. Take all the space in my closet, where the fuck's your logic? Disrespecting my old earth, aborted my childbirth. And every day I check my credit card inside your purse. You can't speak a sentence without a curse. Talk about you gonna be a nurse. Bitch, to be a nurse, you gotta go to school first. When I first met you, you was a hoe. I tried to reform you, bomb you, warn you, and teach you, but couldn't reach you, and you still a hoe. Your father said you was a hoe. And when you leave me, bitch, you gonna be a hoe. Say you leave.
Now, fellas, somebody was saying something about K-Dot had a song that was real original about some domestic violence. I'll go ahead and let y'all go in on that.
I see you're saying this comparisons to, Kendrick's version of a similar song on his album where he has a back and forth. There's some similarities, but I think we've all had this fight, and that's what makes the song on both albums great. I've had a fight like K-Dot just gave us an example of, and I've definitely had a fight like this.
Give me my fucking keys.
Nah, I like you parked in that bitch.
Give me my keys, bro.
Oh, God, you ain't getting these keys.
Give me my fucking keys.
Ah, now you mad at me. I got you hollering for nothing.
I do the same when we fucking.
Act like that pussy ain't loose.
I'd rather act like I'm coming.
I'd rather fuck off the juice.
I'd rather fuck on your cousin.
Bitch, you said you gon' fuck who?
You heard me, nigga. Right. It's nothing.
You know what?
Fuck you, nigga.
Bitch. Fuck you, bitch.
Nah, fuck you,
no,
nigga.
Fuck you, bitch.
Nah, fuck you, nigga.
Fuck you,
fuck
bitch.
You.
Fuck you,
nigga.
Bitch.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you, bitch. Stupid ass. I don't even know why I fuck with you.
I'll be damned if I stuck with you.
Change my number, I'm ducking you, bitch.
Bitch, whatever is comfortable.
This the type of shit couples do. Should've thought about cuffing you, bitch.
Nigga, you dirty and you broke.
Oh, you goofy and gullible.
The insecurities you got won't mind fuck me. Womanizer got no affection from your mama, I see.
Don't speak on my mama, the fuck is your problem?
That bitch don't like me anyway.
Bitch, she gave you the Honda.
And use that shit to throw it in my face.
Hell,
find it funny, you just can't apologize.
Bitch,
egotistic, narcissistic, love your own lives. See you the reason why strong women fucked up. Why they say it's a man's world. See you the reason for Trump. You the reason we overlooked, underpaid, underbooked, under shame. If you look, I don't speak, then I'm caught on my name. I am flawed, I am paid, never yours, I remain. You the reason bitches start fucking with bitches when they change. You the reason bitches start calling y'all bitches cause y'all useless. You the reason Harvey Weinstein had to see his conclusion. You the reason R. Kelly can't recognize that he's abusive.
Shut the fuck up.
There's lots to unpack there, man. I mean, she just destroys those lyrics. She says, we're the reason we have Trump. We're the reason we have Weinstein. That mentality of fucking making women feel like they're crazy. When they're not, we're playing games with their hearts. We were telling them we love them. We're coming home at night. But we know in this scenario, someone's doing some dirt. And instead of owning up, trying to make her feel crazy. So the fight starts with her saying, give me my keys. And who hasn't had a fight when someone has someone else's keys and they don't want to give it up? Who hasn't had a fight when the back and forth cuss words go like this one starts off with? But what's deep is he starts it off as a fight we've all had and lets his female partner tell a much bigger story about how we got here as a society and how women are looked down upon, underpaid, undervalued, underappreciated. You know, you had to have sex with Harvey Weinstein at one point to get a fucking part in this movie. You know, Trump should, a guy like Trump should never exist, but it's because of men treat people like Trump does that he does exist. He's empowered by the people that disrespect women just like him. So I'll turn it over to Yuli, see what he thinks, man, about the whole vibe of that album.
Man, honestly, both songs that were played, you know, it's just so much, you can feel the emotion in the songs, and it just feels so toxic, you know. It's a good representation of, I guess, of a lot of relationships today, which if your relationship is like that, I mean, you might need to rethink the relationship. But, you know, it's a good representation, you know. I feel like he did a good job turning all of the negativity and the constant fight, you know, that we usually get from our significant others, and turn it into a song that, you know, that you feel like, I wasn't even in that, you know, booth or when they record that music, but I just feel the emotion from that song. So if I, you know, that's the good thing about that song. But for me, you know, it is very, very, very negative, but, you know, it's expression, and you know, so I do see it from that way, and I appreciate both. I appreciate that song.
You're right, it's a negative song, and life's not always positive. There's going to be a real album, you can't just show the rainbows. You're going to have to show the warts, the things that, you know, we're not proud of. No one's proud of themselves when they have a cussing contest with a significant other, you know. In this song, no one puts hands on each other, I don't believe, but the verbal abuse is happening there, and no one's proud of that, but it happens. I mean, everyone's been verbally abused, and everyone's probably verbally abused someone else. Not probably intentionally, just to heed the moment. But let's change subjects. I think you wanted to discuss Mirror next, right? It's one of my favorite tracks as well. Wow. He wraps up the second half of the Big Step. It was with Mirror.
Just real quick, this is one of my personal favorites on the album. Just the content, you know, the lyrics, and it's really summing up his overall message. So I'll just play that real quick and piggyback on it.
The pressure's taking over me, it's beginning to loom. Better if I spare your feelings and tell you the truth. Lately I redirected my point of view. You won't grow waiting on me. I can't live in the matrix. Rather fall short of your graces. This time I won't trade places. Not about to try who's wrong. Evil, the only thing known. Ask me when I'm coming home. Read twice again, I'm gone. I chose me, I'm sorry. I chose me, I'm sorry. I chose me, I'm sorry. I chose me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so man, that song right there ends the album. Especially the Mr. Morale part. Very powerful song. I honestly think we might not hear a Kendrick album for a long, long, long time. Seems like Kendrick is going to explore other opportunities. I feel like, you know, the line when he just says the pressure taking over is beginning to loom. Better if I spare you your feelings and tell you the truth. You know, he's basically saying, like, don't wait on him. And he's choosing his family and choosing his own personal, bettering his own personal life and working on, you know, his demons and, you know, the things that we all have. So when he says, I choose me, I'm sorry, I think it's just a very beautiful thing. And I think as far as we all can take something from that, in the sense that we all can choose our personal growth first. Because once you are filled, you can fill others. Once you are secure, once you know yourself and you know, have done that healing and done that inner work, you can heal others. So really beautiful song. I'll give it to you, Rob.
I totally agree. You know, that's your interpretation is right on point. I think he's basically saying, I'm done giving you guys what the labels want me to give. You know, I'm not trying to make you dance and sing and all the good things we like for music, working out and driving. He's trying to give us, in my opinion, a parting message. He's saying something significant. He wants us to figure out what it is. Some things are obvious. At some points in the album, he talks directly to the Black community. He tells us to invest our money. He tells us to stop, treating ourselves better and protecting each other. He goes into the direct instructions at some point. It talks about his death. But when we get back, we'll touch on the religious aspects of this album. I know we need to catch a break, and I look forward to jumping back into this.
All right, fellas. Well, you gave everybody a lot to think about, including myself. We are in the outside studios, keeping it COVID friendly. So thank you all to the insects. Now, getting right back to it, we're up against the break. This is your man, Brother Red. We're with Yilly, and we're with our man, Rob. There's no vultures. Do the knowledge.
Kendrick made you think about it, but he is not your savior. Cole made you feel empowered, but he is not your savior. Future said get a money counter, but he is not your savior. Brian made you give his flowers, but he is not your savior. He is not your savior.
Mr. Morale, give me high five. Two-time center, code offended, judging my life. Backpedaler, what they say you do to cha-cha. I'ma stand on it, 6'5", from 5'5". Fun fact, I ain't taking shit back. Like it when they pro-black, but I'm more caught at black. Tell me where the money at, ay, where the homies at. Universal call out, I can remember Sony that, ay. CC, wait a minute. Ben-a-ki, c'est la vie. I tell the whole truth from A to Z. Ay, show me you real, show me that you bleed. Ay, hello. Crackers. I seen niggas arguing about who's blacker. Even blacked out screens and called it solidarity. Meditating in silence makes you wanna tell me. Bitch, are you happy for me? Really, are you happy for me? Smile on my face, but are you happy for me?
All right, it's your man, Brother Red. Back at ya. We got Rob and we got Illy. We in the house. We're chopping it up about that new KDOT album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Now, recently, KDOT performed overseas at the Gladstone Berry Festival. And when he performed, he had his $3 million jewel-encrusted crown of thorns that created quite a controversy. People first got a peep at it on the album cover, and it looked more like a novelty, at least to me, like, oh, okay, a piece for the album. And then now performing with it, and it was very powerful for many when he performed. It was right on the heels, right after the landmark Roe v. Wade decision, and KDOT performed Savior. He's got the crown on, he's bleeding. All right, one of the internet, like I said, I just read the thing. It said, stop mocking Jesus, right? That came from the Animated Times, somebody over there. Now, when we go to Hip Hop DX, here's what KDOT has to say about the crown. And then after that, I'm going to let you guys jump in, give your take on it. It says, the crown is a godly representation of hood philosophies told from a digestible, useful lens. Free explained. Now, Free is Dave Free, who works with KDOT. All right. For Kendrick, it pays homage to the artist who came before him while serving as a physical embodiment of his devout Christian faith. Now, this is what KDOT has to say. I quote, I wear this crown as a representation so you'll never forget one of the greatest prophets to ever walk the earth. He told the Gladstoneberry crowd on Sunday night. We're going to continue to try our best to walk in his image, quote unquote. Fellas, what do you think?
Okay, so just picking up on that, I do get the outcry or, you know, the people saying not to mock Jesus. You know, I understand, but I think Kendrick puts it very well. I think Dave Free puts it very well. It's really a representation, you know, of also Kendrick, in a sense, sacrificing himself, these personal stories that he's told throughout this album. I feel like that also, in a way, opens the door for other artists to be more vulnerable in their music. I do think, you know, you kind of look behind the words, you know, and really look at the metaphorical you know, reason behind the whole Crown of Thorns and stuff. And, you know, I definitely take it as, in a sense, he's kind of saying, like, don't forget that there's power in you, you know, in your being, and really continue to evolve and walk in the light of love, you know, and continue growth and just being, you know, just not being accepting your like your the bad things that you have to deal with. So that's how I took it, and I'll pass it off to Rob.
It's always uncomfortable at first when artists, you know, dive into mixing our religious beliefs and with our music and our culture. You know, Nas did it when, you know, "You Can Hate Me Now," and he hung himself on a crucifix. Before that, Tupac dropped a... That was Diddy.
Carrying the cross.
Carrying the cross.
Diddy whopped Steve Stout. Let me see that.
Yeah, just quick correction, Brother Rob. If you remember, the story was, they did "Hate Me Now," the video. I think Nas was carrying the cross. Diddy was on the cross. Puff got mad, and the video came out. Everybody was, like, upset, rightfully so. So then he mollywopped Steve Stout upside the head. So if y'all remember that, he went to Steve Stout's office and whopped him upside the head with a champagne bottle because he was upset because he was depicted in a video. Now there's another one in recent memory in hip hop, Machiavelli. Tupac on the Machiavelli album famously had himself on the cross. Now on that one, he says right up on the album cover, "In this, in no way am I depicting myself as Christ on the cross." So he lets it be known, you know, in no way. Now, I will say this for the Crown. I can understand the metaphorical reference. And while I enjoy the thought, my question behind a lot of that is, and I mean, I'm sorry. Number one, why a $3 million crown on your head? When Christ walked with nothing. So if you're really trying to go in the image of Christ, a simple thorn will do. You could have went to your backyard and got some thorns from the doggone rose garden and tied it up on your head, and it would have did the same thing. And it would, to me, it would have had a realer effect. And I think that's the problem with today. I don't see no sacrifice, because when you sacrifice, you're losing something. I don't see no too much money being lost. When I see a $3 million jewel crown all up in your head, and you're supposed to be depicting Christ, talking about, "I'm trying to walk in a Christ image." Really? Oh, really? Last time I checked, Christ went up inside of them temples and kicked all that bullshit down. All of it. So I'm really wondering, is that Christ-like, or is that today's society and a lot of the minutia in the soft stuff that people want to go ahead and say it's okay when you know it ain't? People like to put a lot of stuff in people's mouths of folks that are gone, who stood on stuff, and they ain't here. And then they want to say, "Well, Dr. King," well, you don't know what Dr. King would say. And chances are you probably wouldn't like what he has to say. And I'm just going to end it like that, because I don't understand no $3 million crown on somebody's head talking about you representing Christ as somebody who believes in Christ. I'm sorry, homie. You missed me on that.
Yeah, I can see how that's hard to comprehend for anyone. You know, it is a lot of money. I don't believe in waste. However, what Jesus is the ultimate sacrificial lamb. ultimate sacrificial lamb. So I think when it comes to the whole Jesus comparison, he's just saying he's willing to sacrifice himself for the people he loves. Now, it comes to the crown and the expense of the crown. Now, it's easy to not understand what he's doing with it. But for example, let's just say this album or just his continuous legacy goes on to be like Tupac or bigger than Tupac, bigger than Biggie. Maybe he goes down as one of the greatest rappers of all time. That $3 million crown will be in some kind of museum worth $100 million. The crown, it's art. If Picasso painted a $3 million canvas, people would be like, what? We just don't, I know. But he commissioned it. People commission great ideas all the time. All we know is when an artist makes art, it's hard to understand it in the moment. He envisioned it. But like I said, no, it's hard to defend. I'm not trying to defend a $3 million crown. I would never buy a $3 million crown. But what I'm saying is, $3 million crown, there could have been better things done with it. What I know is he also does other things with his money. And for all we know, it was given to him to promote the jeweler. Who knows? The whole point is, I have a feeling that the story with the crown is not over yet. It is going to be something that Kendrick maybe hasn't revealed yet what he's going to do with his $3 million crown. But I guarantee you, it's not just for his vanity. I guarantee you, he's too well thought for that. It's going to be for some kind of donation to a museum. He can sell it and for more money he spent on it. And do a lot of good with it. We'll know. Who knows? But we're out of time today, everyone. It was great talking about Kendrick. Thanks for having me and my nephew on.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. If you're on Instagram, follow me at Illy, YLI double underscore H. I do got a project coming out, so be on the lookout for that. Thank you. Thank you, brother Red.
All right, fellas, I know y'all got to get it. Y'all up against it. Appreciate y'all. Lively conversation. Love to have y'all back. Same bad time, same bad channel next week. This your man, Brother Red. Remind everybody, do the knowledge. Peace.